thing I like about sitting up here ministering with Pastor Vicky is we don't rehearse this. We are spiritually led when we sit up here together. We don't sit down and rehearse. Baby, I'm going to jump in. You jump in. I'm going to do this. We're not performing. We're being real.
Amen.
And so if we cut each other off or we mess up a sentence and it don't flow together.
It is what it is.
Think about your marriage at home.
Yes.
Think about your marriage. Y'all don't sit there and speak complete sentences and wait for a verbal pause and all of that stuff. You cut each other off. Baby, you ain't let me finish.
And then we want to be that example for you. How many married couples are here? Uh-huh. Because for so many times and so for so long, the women have been suppressed in the church. You know, just sitting there as the first lady. But I appreciate Pastor Charlie because he pastors you and he demands and he expects of you, but he pastors me. And I'm not afraid to say that. And he pulls and he demands of me. And so that's why there's no envy and animosity. Come on, ladies. And jealousy. Come on. When it's time for your gift to be released in the house. Come on. Because my man of God releases me as the gift that God has placed in me. Amen. And so we ought to celebrate that. Hallelujah. This is a free house. There's a saying that say, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Amen. So I come to let you know mama's very happy this morning. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. I would say grab your word, but so many of us use iPads and phones.
That's the word.
However you get the word, grab your word.
Amen.
We're just going to do a quick introduction.
Baby, before you do that, we may forget. We have a dynamic visionary in our midst, and we may forget by the end of service because I know God's going to move. But Minister Betsy, would you stand? This is a phenomenal visionary. We're proud to say she's a leader, amen, that we grew up with, and then she embraced us as her covering, and she actually had her second annual Brilliant Debutante Cotillion Ball last night, and it was simply spectacular the way she launched 9 Debs and their escorts into the call of God. It was outside of the church setting, but do you know you could still feel the spirit and the presence of God in that officers club? So Minister Betsy, before we forget, we love you, we celebrate you and all that God is doing, has done, and is about to do in your life with those Debs. Amen. Thank you for aiding, and you have planted seeds that I spoke over you months ago that are lasting a lifetime. These are not seeds that are going to die or go dormant in these Debs and these escorts, but their children and their children's children are going to benefit because of the impartations that you made in these Debs this year. Amen. Let's celebrate God. See, that's generational blessings right there. You got to know when you're releasing generational blessings, and you got to know and be proud of that thing. We love you.
Amen. And if I'm a little tired, it's because Betsy, that spiritual gift kept me out all night. Amen. Look at somebody. Say, it's okay to laugh in church.
It's okay to laugh in church. Tell them relax. Tell them relax. That's when
you
learn your best.
Amen.
When you
relax. I want you to relax, amen, and just be at peace when you come in God's house. It's okay to laugh.
Yes.
When I walk out of this pulpit, I'm not still preaching. I turn into the class clown. Am I lying,
anybody
Pastor Chambers?
Else like that? Your serious woman is in church.
You have to learn how to relax and enjoy yourself, man. And some of us have become so spiritual deep, man, we're no earthly good.
Lord,
and we gotta learn how to be good in the earth again. Amen. You're gonna have enough time when you get to heaven and put on your white robe and your shoes of victory, amen. And you're gonna have some time to march around heaven. But don't live a miserable life in earth waiting to get to heaven, amen.
My God.
Learn how to have a good time in the earth realm, amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Learn how to have a good time again. Amen. We're talking about spiritual maturity, and that's a mature statement I just made. Amen. Learn how to have a good time. Sometimes we get saved and we like, all I can do is go to church and read the word. I'm in my word. I'm in my word. Man.
No, they're not.
Not about how much word you read, how much word you live. Well.
Spiritual maturity. Let's get in the word. We talk about growing up in Christ, and we've talked about a lot of things, amen, in a couple of weeks. We talked about adding to faith, virtue, mm-hmm. and dealing with virtue, talking about godly character, Last week we started talking about an add to godly character, a virtue, knowledge. Look at somebody and say knowledge. Knowledge. Knowledge is a powerful tool. Knowledge is supreme. You never get to the point where you have all knowledge. There's only one who is omniscient. And that's God himself. He says he is omniscient, meaning he's all-knowing. He knows everything. We are learning some things. But we're talking about knowledge. Amen. On last week, we were talking about the pursuit of knowledge. And we lifted up a definition for those that wasn't here or those that didn't write it. Go ahead and grab this quickly. We talked about knowledge as the practical know-how. The practical know-how necessary for handling everyday matters. How many of you ever made decisions and you didn't have all the knowledge you needed on that decision? And the results don't normally turn out the best when you don't have all of the information or the knowledge. Every decision that I've made that was a bad decision, it was made out of emotional manners and not knowledge or not having all of the information. If I would have taken the time, or we would have taken the time to get the information we needed on some things, we would be better financially, we would be better spiritually, you know, we'd be better physically if we had all of the information. So look at somebody and say, knowledge is supreme.
Knowledge is supreme.
It's the practical know-how necessary for handling everyday matters. It's the state or fact of knowing. The state or fact of knowing, learning, having an awareness of, the ability to recognize and discern. Somebody said recognize and discern. Last week we talked about the pursuit of knowledge, and Pastor Vicky, you were talking about an illustration of being on the lookout or a person being chased, amen, in a pursuit or a high pursuit chase. Like I was doing Elder Ray this morning. Elder Ray need to repent before God. He drove about 90 miles per hour to the church this morning. And I'm going to repent right here now because I was in hot pursuit of him. Coming down the road, amen. But that pursuit of that knowledge, and one of the things I learned, and it was just a practical illustration, even though Elder Ray was speeding and I was behind him, we both got to the parking lot at the same time. So Pastor Vicky looked at me and said, you know, when we rush ourselves and when we hurry up,
wow,
we don't get anywhere any faster. Right. We just put a greater expectation and more pressure on ourselves.
Greater risk.
And we put ourselves at a greater risk to get there. But when we looked at that thing, we said, man, we got there at the exact same time. And you look at that thing. And so when you look at that pursuit, some people may look like they're in front of you.
Yes.
Some people may look like they way down the road and they got all of God and you ain't got none of him. Yeah. Don't get in a hurry to do like them or get where they are. Yeah. Just stay in your lane and keep driving your speed.
Keep pursuing.
Keep pursuing God at your pace and at your speed. And you grew up and they taught us stuff in elementary school, the hare and the tortoise. No matter how fast that hare ran, that tortoise had a consistent pace. And he just stayed steady and stayed on course. And that hare would burn out or get tired and have to rest.
Yeah.
But that tortoise would just keep going. And they ended up at the finish line almost the exact same time. Look at somebody and say, just run your own race.
Just run your own
when
race.
When you're pursuing God, you might not know 50 scriptures already, but just find one you can learn.
Yes.
I'll give you one this morning. Jesus wept.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
When you walk out of here, you know more than you knew when you came in the door. If that one don't work for you, the Bible says God so loved the world. That means you're in the world. And God loves me. Amen. And you walk out of here with that. But Pastor Vicky in 1 Corinthians, I believe it was,
amen,
14 and 20.
Right.
You read that for me.
Okay, go there if you would. 1 Corinthians 14:20. We're going to lay the foundation. It says, brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. And then let's reference Ephesians 4:14-16. Well, we'll just reference 14. Amen. It says, so that we may no longer be children. Someone shout, no longer children. Tossed to and fro. Come on, back and forth. Come on, up and down. Come on, in and out. Somebody shout stability. Come on, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried out by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Amen. But let's hit 15. It says, but rather speaking the truth. Somebody shout the truth.
Truth.
In love, we are to grow up. Somebody shout grow up.
Grow up.
in every way unto him who is the head. And then I believe PC already lifted up 2 Peter 1, 5 through 9, where it references make every effort to add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. Amen. And that's where we are. But go to verse 8. It says, for if these qualities, somebody shout knowledge, is yours and increasing, they keep you from becoming ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we want to make sure that you have those three scriptures to reference throughout the week in your studies.
Amen. Look at somebody and just tell them, I need more knowledge.
I need more knowledge.
When we talk about the knowledge that we're lifting up, we're not talking about just information or just obtaining a wealth of information to show how smart you are. We're not talking about that, because the Bible does says knowledge puffs up, or knowledge can make pride. Sometimes we want to prove to people how much we know, amen, instead of showing them how much we know. You understand? If we show people how much we know about Christ, then we won't have to prove to them how much we know about Christ. The proof will be in the works, amen, or the manifestation that we put forth. Gandhi, I love Gandhi, you know, and I often reference back to him that says, I love your Christ, but I don't like your Christians. He says, because you're so unlike your Christ. You understand? When we know who Christ really is, we begin to live that Christ-centered or that Christ-like life. And that life of Christ is a life of love. It's a life of love. That's the only real message he wanted to bring to us. Amen. A message of love. And if we could ever get that message down pack in the kingdom. You see, we've left the church and went to kingdom, but we didn't take love with us to the kingdom. So we might as well have just stayed in the church. You understand? We had strife in the church, but then we came to the kingdom and brought strife over there. And the only thing that gets rid of strife is love. And so just tell somebody this morning, I love you.
I love you. I love you.
Just look at somebody else and tell them, I love you. You see, that's a hard thing to say, because we've made it such a easy word, and we can say it on cue to people, but it ain't just in how you say it, it's in how you show it. You know what I mean? It's in how you show that love. And we have to pursue it. When we talk about pursuing knowledge, Pastor Vicky, last week you read Matthew 7, 7 through 8. You said we have to ask, seek, and knock. You said ask, seek, and knock, and the doors will be open unto us. And we left off last week talking about four ways that we can attain spiritual knowledge. Four ways, and we just do a quick review. Amen. On that one. And the first one we lifted up last week was you can ask for it.
Ask, seek, and knock.
Pastor Vicky,
combined it into three, y'all. Three.
The ask, taking it as an ask acronym and making it ask, seek, and knock. Matthew 7, 7, and 8 says, ask, seek, and knock, and the doors will be open to you.
That's right.
It says everyone.
Mm-hmm. Because so many times we're asking and we're seeking, but many of us have not knocked on heaven's door to get a glimpse, come on, at what God really has prepared for us. And so we just keep asking and seeking, and we never have that visitation. Come on, that angelic visitation, or that visitation in heaven, so we can see, because that's what will cause us. When you see what God has for you, that's knowledge. Uh-huh. Now you know. You're not in the dark. God is not trying to hide himself or his will from us. He's not even trying to hide his blessings from us. He wants us to know. Somebody shout, I need to be in the know. Because it's what we don't know, come on, that's hindering us and preventing us from getting what we need. So that's where we added that knock piece to give you that revelation.
It's nothing like going to somebody's house and ringing the doorbell and you know they home. Doorbells are good when they're polite and come and open it. But how many of you get tired of that doorbell and you just start knocking on that door again? You go back old school and you just start hitting that door and say, somebody gonna open this door today. That's the way we have to deal with God sometimes. You understand? Most of us have a doorbell mentality with God. We want to just push it one time and then see if he's going to come. But sometimes you got to be persistent, and you got to stand there and knock on heaven's door. God ain't going nowhere until you open up the door of heaven.
Show me.
I don't care if you open the window. You're going to open up and say something to me before I leave here.
Yes.
You see, when you come to the church, you don't leave here without your answer. You don't walk out of here. We might not be preaching the message that you need to hear, but you don't just walk out of here. You come up here and say, I know what you preach, but I need something more. Oh, yeah. I need something. I'm knocking on your door to get another revelation in where I am. So we said you can ask. James 1 and 5 says, anyone, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives generously to all. Yeah. Without finding fault. God ain't looking at you saying, you done messed up, so I ain't going to give you knowledge. He needs you to have knowledge so you can know how to clean up your mess up.
Yes.
You understand? And so you can ask for it. We looked at last week where Solomon didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for any of those things. You can go back and look at it, referencing 2 Chronicles 7 through 12, where Solomon asked for wisdom to know how to lead the people of God. And God says, because you didn't ask for, amen, revenge on your enemy. You didn't ask for long life. You didn't ask for more wealth or money, but you asked to lead my people and to have the wisdom to do it. I'm going to give you the wisdom, but I'm also going to give you the material possessions. Wow. I'm going to give you the wealth. I'm going to give you the health. I'm going to give you long life. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you all of that stuff. And so knowledge will teach you how to ask for the right thing.
Wow.
Not knowledge will instruct you on how to ask for the right thing. But then secondly, we said you can study for it. Mm-hmm. You can study for knowledge. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so look at somebody and say, you can study for it. We have to have a regimen beyond Sunday where we open up the word. And I'm not talking about that Facebook Bible that pop up with the daily verse.
Dig a little deeper.
you got to go a little bit deeper. That's a mystery verse for you that you can just grab onto, but that ain't even your word for the day. You got that word because God knows you go to Facebook before you come to him. And so he had to infiltrate that system. And so now that Bible had to pop open so you can read that verse before you go and read other people's business.
First and foremost.
Infiltrate the system, baby. He says, you so into gossip and not the gospel that you now come to Facebook to see what other people are doing. So I'm going to deal with your face before you get in their face. Wow. And so that Bible verse pop up and you feel guilty when you don't click it because you know you ain't been to your words yet.
Not yet.
Anybody I'm talking to, give God a praise right there.
There's a few honest folk in here.
It's a couple of honest people.
We love
So look at somebody. That's not deep revelation.
Right.
You can study for it. You can ask for it, and you can study for this knowledge. But Pastor Vicky, you can get it another way.
Right. We said you could get it from past choices and decisions. So we want to remind you, stop beating yourself up. Let's stop beating ourselves up for some of the mistakes or decisions that we made, because there is no mistake. We live and learn. Okay. I love it because I can learn what to do from watching other people and the mistakes that they make, but I can also learn what not to do. So you got to think about that. You could be setting an example for somebody else through what you're calling a mistake. Come on. It's actually an eye-opening experience or lesson for somebody that's watching you. Come on. So stop being guilty and shameful and condemning ourselves. And we said the best classroom for acquiring knowledge is life. Amen. And we said that previous mistakes and failures make us wiser. Amen. We talked about the danger of knowing and not doing. We referenced the parable of the 10 talents when the servant knew that he should have invested the talents that the master gave him. And the master comes back and says, you knew this, but you were afraid and you buried what I gave you. And he took what he had and gave it to the one who knew and the one who did. And so we talked about how we lose our talents, our gifts. We lose our finances. We lose time when we know what we're supposed to do. We know we're supposed to wake up and drop down on our knees. Come on, saints. We know we're supposed to give God the first praise. Come on, the fruit of our lips. We know it's supposed to go to him first. But then we turn around and wake up and don't do it. And then we wonder, why is the clock moving so fast? Come on, y'all. Why is it already 5 o'clock? So I ain't got nothing I'm supposed to get done. Because we knew what we were supposed to do and didn't do it, and we lost our time in the day. So we talked about knowing and doing is critical to prevent losses in our life. Amen? Amen.
So when we look at previous lessons learned from past choices, You've heard the statement, if I would have known then what I know now.
What I know now.
You learned something from that era. It could have been through a marriage that didn't go right. You learned something. You don't have to you don't have to be afraid to fall in love again. You learned something.
Yes.
And you don't take negative lesson into your new relationship and try to apply it, or
That's
you don't
good.
Take the fear from that negative lesson into the future and then say, I'm going to be so cautious that you can't do anything or accomplish anything. You look at that in every arena of life, man, the best teacher is mistakes.
Yes.
But in church, we want to be so perfect that we don't want to admit flaws and mistakes. But man, your mistakes are the best classroom that you've ever been in because it makes you evaluate.
Yes, it does.
When you're successful at something, you stop thinking about it. You don't even put effort to it. You just go do it. I eat, breathe, and sleep this thing, and you're so good at it that you don't even put the effort in it. Leon, back there, Leon, he know I'm going to call him out. Leon, I walk in there and sit in Leon's chair. Leo, and after he cut my hair three times, I said, cut it like you did the last time. He know what I'm expecting, and I expect him to know what I'm looking for. You see what I'm saying? You look at that thing. When you know what you're good at, he's a barber, so he knows he's good at that thing. He don't have to wake up and go back to barber school and get the manual.
Right.
He got that thing down. When we look at life, man, he the first haircut he messed up somebody, though. Am I right, E? The first haircut, you mess up somebody. And you said, man, I don't ever want that feeling again. Guy walk out of here, he got three holes in his head, and I'm talking about that style. Mm-hmm. The first time you spoke into somebody's life, you messed them up.
Okay.
You were practicing your prophetic gift.
Come on.
And you just had a little bit of a word of a knowledge.
Come on.
And so now you're in the parking lot trying to put some stuff together. Mm-hmm. And person walked away upset, hurt, angry. Mm-hmm. Amen. Don't know which way to go.
Reporting
and you get in
to
your car
pastors.
Knowing God ain't told you to say all that stuff, but you just wanted to see if you really had the spirit of prophecy.
Yeah.
You know when you first start prophesying, you jack some folks up.
Yes. Mistakes put a greater demand on us to learn and to tap into knowledge of doing better.
Uh-huh.
It does. And so without that urgency or demand on us, we become complacent and comfortable and casual. And after a while, we get frustrated in our day-to-day activities.
And that fourth one, just so you can write it down, we're not going to spend time here. You attain it from the teachings or knowledge of others.
Amen.
Look at somebody and say, we need to link up.
We need to link up. Amen.
Some of us are spending too much time trying to learn something that the person beside us already know. And so you trying to study some stuff that you don't even need to be studying, and that's where you waste a lot of time. You waste a lot of time trying to get information that has already been given to you, mm-hmm. but is given to you by the person sitting next to you.
Mm-hmm.
The person right beside you, there's somebody on the road that you're on that have your answer to what it is, and you're waiting on God to give it to you. And he sent you to the right place, put you on the right road, put you in the right room.
Right.
But if you don't talk to people, you can't get your answer.
Right, right.
We want people to walk around and try to discern where we are. Well, if you that spiritual, you ought to look at me and know where. Man, I'm trying to find out where I am. Just tell me so we can hurry up. You understand? Just tell me. Don't make ministry magic.
Yeah.
Where we got to sit around and try to discern and figure out and guess where you are. If you hurt and you tell me you hurt, we can get to the pain quicker than if I got to sit there and figure out why you hurt.
Yeah.
Somebody ought to praise God right there.
Yeah. We don't go into the doctor's office and say, figure out what's wrong with me. They start asking us about our history. How long? Where did it start? When did it begin? You know, we don't have a problem giving them all of the background so that he can make what? A wise, sound medical decision on what type of treatment we need. Amen? And so it is in the kingdom of God dealing with knowledge. Amen? Somebody say, I'm going to stop holding back now. Come on, we're going to bring light to the situation. You ready, babe?
Amen.
So we said that God wants us to be filled with knowledge. Amen. So in today's notes, jot down Colossians 1:9. It words it this way. Amen. 9b, the latter part of 9. We do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge. Underline that. Filled to maximum capacity with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So that's evidence that God wants us to have knowledge of himself. Amen. Knowledge of who he is. Knowledge of his will in our life. Amen. So jot that down. Knowledge of his will. But not just his will for our lives, but knowledge of his will for the body of Christ as a whole. Amen. But I also want to say he even wants us to have knowledge of those of his will for those that still living in sin. Amen. He has a will and a desire for them as well. So we need to know that there is a difference between having sinned and living in sin. We can just drop some knowledge real quick, Chris. Amen. We need to know there's a difference between having sin and living in sin, because God desires something in the lives of those that are still sinning. So Romans 3:23, there's going to be three scriptures you're going to jot down in this area. Even though Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that keeps us from being puffed up and making ourselves more perfect than someone else. That's what that scripture does. It does not, come on y'all, condone and celebrate sin. Okay, so it says we've all sinned, so we're all in this together. I'm no more perfect than you, amen? But then when you look at Romans 6:22, you may not be able to go there now, but go there in your study. It says, but now, having been set free from sin, I'm not in bondage to sin anymore. Anybody else with me on that? I have sinned, mother. I have sinned. So I'm not greater than you, but it says here that having sinned, I've been set free from sin, so I'm not living in bondage to sin. Amen? So Matthew 18:8 is the third scripture.
Before you do 18 and mm-hmm. 8, let's turn 3:23 and 6:22 into one verse.
Okay. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Let's leave the fall short piece off. We ain't taking nothing away from the scripture, but we're just going to make it one sentence.
Amen.
For all have sinned, but now have been set free from sin.
That's
all
powerful.
All have sinned, but now have been set free from sin.
That's good.
You don't live in the first clause of that sentence.
Amen.
All have sinned, but when you see that word "but," it changes the context of what you previously just read.
Yeah,
that's why
yeah.
when you're having conversation with people and you're trying to lead them in the right way and they keep saying "but" to you,
yeah.
they don't want to receive where it is that you're trying to take them.
Right.
They want to stay where they are. And so when you run into too many goats
in the kingdom,
you run into too many people that got butts on top of what you're trying to say to them. Mm-hmm. You're wasting your breath. You got to get there because some people are in sin and want to stay in sin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now when you recognize that you've been in sin, but then when you hit that "but" clause, but mm-hmm. look at that thing, but now having been set free from sin, when you can get to the second
yes.
part of who you are in Christ, you don't live anymore according to the law or according to the sin nature.
That's right.
You have to change the dimensions of how you see your life and begin to see yourself as the righteousness of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The behaviors may not be all the way up to par,
right.
but you can't change the image of who you are in Him.
That's right.
You got to live according to the righteous state or the righteous condition of who you are, and then you got to command your life to catch up to who you see yourself as. And so now you got to stop living and condemning yourself and saying, man, I keep on falling. I keep on doing. That's why I didn't let her read there and have fall short, because you want to live in that fall short category.
Right.
Too many of us live in just below the level of our anointing
yes.
in a state of falling short.
Yeah.
Well, I ain't gonna never get nowhere. I ain't gonna never accomplish nothing. I'll never be able to do these things. Man, that's the first clause still in your sin nature.
Yes.
But when you get past that and say, man, anything I believe,
yeah,
anything yeah. I can wrap my mind around, talking about knowledge, anything I can say yeah. to myself,
yeah.
man, I can bring that thing into reality
yeah.
by the life that I live now in Christ. If I say I'm gonna do a thing, you can rest assured it's already done. It's already finished. I walk in a nature like Christ. I don't have to fuss at the tree. I just tell that tree, you ain't gonna never bear fruit no more. Keep on going by my business. You come back and amazed at what I said, but I saw it before I ever said it, because I walk in a level of knowledge.
Yes.
Not the knowledge
yes.
of who He is, but who I am with
yes.
Him
yes.
living on the
yes.
inside of me.
Yes.
You
Amen.
Got to catch that. Who I am with Him on the
yes.
inside of me.
Yes.
The word says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world.
Yes.
And so if I got this level of greatness in
yes.
me, when
yes.
I say something, it has to line up just like when He said something.
Yes.
Oh my.
Yes.
You got to watch what you say, because you see, your mouth is the guard to your knowledge.
Yes.
And most of us speak dumb junk.
Yes.
Most of us speak foolish junk. Most of us speak gossip and mess, and that's why
that's
we don't
it.
See the fruit.
That's it.
But when we began to train our mouth
yes.
to speak according to knowledge.
Yes.
Man, we began to say something and it began to manifest at the moment that I say it.
Yes, yes, yes.
I went off course.
Amen.
Amen.
No, you go ahead. Well, you know, he leads us to the point where, you know, our mouth and our actions, you know, that we may be using to sin. Here's what we have to do to be set free from sin. I'm just going to say it. We got to cut off sin. Oh, y'all want to find a scripture for that? We got to cut off sin. And so that's Matthew 18:8. It says, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off.
That's a metaphor.
It's a metaphor. But some of us, you know, may need to cut some stuff off, physical, natural, spiritual. But sin has to be cut off. It says, but listen to this. It says, and cast it. Cast that sin away from you, far, far away. It says, it is better for us to enter into life lame and maimed. Come on. Rather than having two hands and two feet and cast into the everlasting fire. And so a lot of times we look at where we were last year in sin. It should not be where we find ourselves this year in sin. So we don't want to look at overindulgence as a sin. We don't want to look at instant gratification as a sin. We don't want to look at murdering people with our words is a sin. And so these are areas that we have to cut off. Somebody shout, cut it off. And that's how we look at the difference between having sin and living in sin. So that's the introspection of spiritual maturity.
Amen.
Examine our lives and see what needs to be. Somebody shout, cut off. Amen.
That requires a willing desire to learn more about ourselves and then be responsible for what we've learned.
Yes.
We have to become responsible for what we've learned about ourselves. So many people don't want to look at themselves, and I'm not talking about anyone in particular. I'm talking about most people. We like to look at other people and see what they're doing, and then we get caught up in them, because most of the time it's because we don't like something about ourselves. When I judge myself against another man, I'm not using the right standard. You got to catch that. When I judge myself against another man, I'm still judging myself against a sin standard. I got to look at my life compared to Christ. And Christ has to become the judge or the standard for how I look at my life. And that's the only way I can know that I'm really progressing.
Wow.
That's the only way I can know that I'm really progressing. You understand, in the body of Christ, I talked to a gentleman last night sitting at the table, and we talked about, have you ever seen a metrics, or have you ever seen a metron that you can look at and plot your life and say, this is how much I've grown since I come to know Christ.
Wow.
Have you ever been able to look at that? In psychology and sociology and social work and the social sciences, we take a baseline of where we are, and then we look at where we're going. In finances, we do the same thing with budgeting. We take a baseline and we look at where we are, and we develop a plan to where we want to be. But spiritually, we just walk in and we never take a look at our life and get a baseline and say, man, this is where I was, but this is where I am. And there's no other person on the standard. It's just me, Christ, in the standard of his life for me. And then where am I in Christ today that I wasn't yesterday? Have I grown any more in Christ, or did I get one verse on him and I got stuck right there, and I've been in the same grade ever since I got saved?
Wow.
Many of us have gotten saved, and that's the only grade we've passed in the kingdom. We've passed salvation, but we have not grown past salvation. But there are so many more levels, or there's so much more that he wants us to know about him. And so look at Colossians 1:9. When we talk about being filled with knowledge, he wants us to be filled with knowledge, not just have one revelation of knowledge. Not just have one revelation, but most of us get one revelation, and we take that one revelation and we turn it into doctrine, we turn it into theology, we turn it into dissertations, we put degrees on our names, and now I'm a doctor of this one revelation, and now I'm the smartest one in the camp, and nobody can tell me anything else to do. But man, the Bible says it's the foolish things of the world that confound the wise. And so we spend so much time getting the wrong knowledge that we miss the knowledge that he would want us to have. And so look at Colossians 1:9. When you get there, shout glory. This text, it speaks of three different aspects here. Colossians 1:9, Pastor Vicky read it. It says, we do not cease, 9b, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge. Somebody say, filled with the knowledge. What? Filled with the knowledge of his will. Filled with the knowledge of his will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Write these three things down. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Write those down. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. The text speaks of these three different aspects. And lots of times we use those three as synonyms. We use them as synonymous, and they're the same thing. I want to be filled with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I'm going to say something to you real quick, and I need you to write it down. Most of us don't have all three. Oh boy, I struck a nerve up in here. You're so used to saying them. Most of us have one of the three, and we have to connect with somebody that have the other. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, they are spiritual gifts, and rarely do God give the same person all three gifts. Just like the fivefold ministry gifts, when you deal with the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, and the pastor, you don't see the apostle up here saying, I'm the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, and all of them. You have to know which gift you got so you can properly operate in that gift. And so now most of us think, well, I got wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. No, you don't. You either got one of the three, and you got to connect with somebody else that got the rest of them so they can bring you into the place to get the manifestation of what God has for your life. He gave you one code to the lock. He gave you one number to the combination. And the reason why you don't unlock your life is you think he's going to give you the other two, but he's not. He's giving it to somebody else that you got to connect with, and they got the other code. And when you get all three, you get manifestation, or you get what they were singing about, the heavens to open over your life. The combination lock don't open just because you know the first digit.
Wow, that's good.
You know the first digit, but that thing still stays locked. But when you get all three in sync and working together, that thing pops open and you can get access.
Yes.
You can get access to what it is that you're trying to get. And so heaven is still locked because you only know your gift. But you don't know how to apply your gift or mix your gift with the other gifts that are around you. Somebody say knowledge.
Knowledge,
understanding,
and wisdom.
Look at this. When we talk about these, and I'm going to use these three, rarely do you have all three. And I'm going to use these three in the context of the pastor, the teacher, and the prophet. Mm-hmm. So now with knowledge, write this down. Y'all ready for school?
Amen.
Write this down. Knowledge deals with the facts. Knowledge deals with the facts. Most pastors walk in a spirit of knowledge. Don't mean they have wisdom and understanding. Very few have all three. That's that man, you say, hold on, dog, wait a minute. That's why they have to be submitted to other gifts. And so when you're connected, did somebody clap right there? Go ahead and give God a praise.
Over here.
That's why they have to be committed and submitted to the other gifts. Because when you're just with the pastor, you can't get heaven to open over your life. You can have good church, and you can learn every verse in the Bible, but you can't unlock no revelation on how to apply that thing.
Wow.
So knowledge deals with the facts. And when you see knowledge, I want you to write the word pastor.
Pastor.
Those with knowledge, they're able to collect, to remember, and to access information. I'm going to give you a verse for that. They know the facts about the scriptures. You see, we come up here, man, and we roll out some facts about some scriptures. But if Pastor Vicky and I sit down, we don't have the same gift, and so you may be sitting up under any two of them at any given moment. But look at this. Look at this. They know the facts about the scriptures. God's word is in them, and they are pastors, or they are pastor teachers. They can walk in both of those gifts. Jeremiah 3:15, write this down and look at this. Jeremiah 3:15, it says, and I will give you shepherds after my own heart, or pastors after my own heart, who will feed you with what? Pastor's assignment is to feed you with knowledge, but they can't make you eat it. They can't make you chew it or digest it, but their assignment is to keep feeding it to you. To feed you with knowledge. But look at this. It's possible to have knowledge and still lack understanding and wisdom. You can know the facts and have no clue and don't have the meaning of what to do next. And many of us are stuck on the knowledge level. Waverly is sitting over there on a keyboard. I have knowledge that is a keyboard, but I ain't got no understanding on how to play it. I don't have the wisdom on how to make the sounds and the tunes and the things come out of it. We were singing about rain this morning, and Minister Darian got an instrument over there, and he started making rain in this room. Not Little Wayne's rain, but he started making rain in the Revelation. Y'all went to sleep on me. He started making it rain over there in the camp. You heard the rain coming through the instrument that he was playing. He has a knowledge of how to make it rain with the instrument that he had in his hand. And so most of us have the knowledge side down, and we have pastors, but look at somebody say, we need a deeper revelation.
We need a deeper revelation.
We need a deeper revelation.
Baby, let me say this. It's just like, you know, transitioning from infancy into a mature state. You look at feeding a baby. You know, we know as the mom that the peas are good for you. And the baby will take the peas in, but when we turn our head, they'll spit it out because they don't like it, even though it's good for them. That's what pastors deal with. Can I just bring that? That's what we do. We feed it to you as pastors because we love you and we want you to grow and be healthy and strong. Hallelujah. Huh.
So hold on, Vicky.
But then there's
She ain't gonna let me say this.
Can I give a point out first? then we have the children turn around and say, in our presence, Mama Gwen, oh yeah. Then soon we turn around and get some more of that. I don't want that.
I was just going to help you finish it.
Put the bib on.
With bibs.
Because they're going to spit it out.
They're going to spit
like
out
it.
What they don't like about the revelation of the word, of the knowledge. I was just trying to
help
you clean
baby.
It up.
That's good. That's good. All right.
You got to pray.
I thought you
were
about to go all deep on me, y'all.
So when we deal with the pastor, we talk about knowledge.
So somebody say swallow. It's good for me.
Matter of fact, go ahead and just swallow.
It's good for me.
Just swallow what you just heard
may
already.
May not taste
amen.
Good. We're going to speak prophet. May not taste good. Come on.
You
may not feel good.
Apply.
May not taste good. But just swallow it because it's good for you. Amen.
Then under understanding. So by knowledge, you wrote pastor, right?
Amen. That was a good point.
By understanding, I want you to write the word scholar and write the word teacher.
Scholar, teacher.
Understanding deals with the ability to lift the meaning out of the facts. Understanding deals with
That's
the ability
good.
To lift the meanings out of the fact. Just because you hear us don't mean you can do what we're doing. It doesn't mean that you can sit right down tomorrow and lift the meaning out of the facts. Mm. There's a scholarly aspect that comes through learning, and we just talked about four ways that you can get this knowledge. Mm-hmm. But now the gift of understanding, look at this. It allows you to grasp the meaning out of the information.
Mm.
Understanding. The teacher helps you to
That's
get
good.
The meaning out of the information that you just learned. That's why we have teachers in school. Parents teach at home, but we send our kids to school to a teacher who can instruct them or help them to get the meaning
wow.
out of what they're going to need for the rest of their life. You look at this, the gift of understanding,
That's
the
good.
Gift of understanding. It allows you to see through the facts. Most of us get caught up on the facts and don't see through them, but how many of you know the facts are not the truth? The facts are not always the truth. You got enough to condemn somebody, but you still ain't got the truth. That's why when we go to court is based on a bunch of facts. And if we get enough facts, we found somebody innocent or guilty, and we do the same thing in the court of religion. We found enough facts about people, and then we want to prove them innocent or guilty instead of sitting down and getting an understanding.
Yes.
Can you understand why I did what I did?
Yes.
If you understand it, then maybe you can give me a little bit of grace. I did this because this is where I was at this moment in time. If I would have had all of the facts or known the truth, then maybe I would have done it differently. But now I have a greater understanding or awareness. I learned something.
Yes.
I was taught in this thing. So look at somebody say, understanding, it allows you to see through the facts.
Understanding, it allows you to see through the facts.
And when you see through the facts, baby, then you're able to explain the principles of how a thing works.
Mm-hmm.
When you see through the facts, you can begin to talk about the principles of how a thing works. This gift is normally with your scholars or teachers. Proverbs 4:7-8, look at what it says. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. That's what we're really going after. Wisdom is the principal thing. It says, therefore, get wisdom. But look at this. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Look at somebody say, I need understanding.
I need understanding.
When you make that statement, all you're saying is, I need more than just the facts. Everybody know everybody get the facts on some things, but just because I know the facts of 2 + 2 = 4 don't mean I know how to handle money.
Yes.
Just because I know 4 times 4 is 16 don't mean I can handle money. It means I know simplistic or have simplistic or basic knowledge about math. Just because I know 16 minus 8 is 8 doesn't mean I can handle money. I got to get somebody with an understanding on money. And most people in church are broke because we have a knowledge of money, but we don't have understanding, and we won't go sit down with a teacher.
Wow.
Oh, I didn't think nobody That's was going to shout right there. I didn't think nobody was going to say nothing.
Yes.
All of the teachers in finances, stand up for me real quick. You teach finances. That's what you do. You see how many stood up? Pastor Vicky, got your hand lifted? Look at that in the house. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Not very many. Now, y'all sit down. All of the people that need a greater understanding of how money really works, the principle of money, stand
Hallelujah.
Up.
Hallelujah. Multiplication and increase. Come on. Overflow and abundance. Come on. In my life.
Yes, sir.
Now, if Elder J, y'all that have the knowledge of money, stand up again. Stand up again. Look at the assignment, Deacon Liz, Pastor Vicky, Minister Nina, Minister Brenda. Look at this. When you look for them, this is the realm that you ought to be talking about the most with them.
Okay.
You ought to be seeking and understanding, and you ought not be talking to them about the mall.
Amen.
You ought not be talking to them about where you're going to eat next, because they're more concerned about how much it's going to cost you when you go there, and can you really afford it?
Yeah.
And so so many of you don't even spend a lot of time with them, because we run from the people with the understanding.
Yep.
And we want to have basic conversations, but now look around. I told you your answer is in the room. And so if you want a greater revelation on how to become more more financially astute, once again, raise your hand. People that are standing up, raise your hand, Pastor Vicky. These are the people you ought to be talking to.
And let me say this. I had absolutely no understanding. But look at that couple right there, husband and wife. I was looking for someone to imitate in the arena of finances for Pastor C and myself. And as Liz and Lorenzo began to talk to me about money, it's like the words that I inclined my ear to hear. I didn't just sit back. Come on. Act like I had what I needed. I inclined my ear, and they knew this girl don't have what she need, but she has enough wisdom to get the understanding from me. And so I commend you. Give it up for Liz and Lorenzo and everyone that stood, that's walking in that knowledge.
I'm going to move this thing with the understanding
Amen.
And the teaching. Write this down. I want you to get this. Understanding is a lens which brings the facts into crisp focus. Understanding is a lens which brings the facts into crisp focus. Carlos, I know you're paying attention back there, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to take us out of focus. And the people in the house, I want you to look at the screens. Destiny Cast, don't worry, it's just a test. Go ahead, Carlos, take us all the way out of focus. Just begin to mess with us and take us out of focus and begin to blur us. The facts began to be blurred, and they're not as crisp, or they're not as focused, or it's not doing anything for you. All right, zoom in on us and then zoom out on us. There you go. Make that camera do something. And look at what Carlos has, the understanding on how to make that camera work. And he can bring us in focus, or he can take us out of focus through the understanding of what he's doing with that thing. Your understanding is just like the lens on that camera. Your understanding, it brings facts into crisp focus. And most of you have been looking at stuff through blurred lines.
Mm-hmm. Blurred.
Somebody rode the short bus. Somebody had that bus with a ramp on it. I ain't messing with nobody, but some of y'all missed me. I just said something. Somebody just caught up to what I said. But let's look at wisdom. Wisdom, and then we move.
Amen.
Wisdom deals with knowing what to do next. Wisdom deals with knowing what to do next, or knowing when to apply the principle that has been learned. When you see wisdom, write the word prophet. Wisdom deals with the prophetic dimension of your anointing, and it deals with being able to discern, or being able to speak to, or being able to see what's coming down the pike, or see what's next.
Yeah.
Those with the gift of wisdom, they know which principle to apply next.
Mm-hmm.
They have an understanding, but they know which principle to apply next. And they have an ability to discern the times. This is the prophet. Now, I'm not talking about the parking lot prophet. I'm not talking about the person that's just got a spirit of prophecy, but ain't no hands been laid on them. They ain't been confirmed and set into the office. They don't have the gift. They haven't been appointed or set up to walk in that office. They don't have the mantle that's on their life. They just had some collard greens last night and got an unction. I'm not talking about that level, that low-level prophecy, where when we sit up here and just say something over your life, that's just a general word of knowledge. But I'm talking about the prophets that have been confirmed into the office. These are the people of wisdom, and most houses don't have prophets. Most houses of God don't have prophetic gifts operating in them, so they don't know the wisdom of when to do the next thing and when to do it now. Or when it's the next step to do it. And so the prophet puts you in sync with the time. You can have the knowledge and the understanding and be out of time. Mm-hmm. Man, I did that thing and it didn't hit. I was 3 months before the time.
Yes.
I was 3 months before the time. And man, I didn't get the fruit of where it was. But the prophet can tell you, I see rain. Go ahead and plant those seed, because even though it's a drought, I see rain coming down the horizon. If you wait to see what the prophets see, you'll be out of time. And when it rains, it's too late to get the seed in the ground. Yeah. The prophet tell you something is crazy and you think, man, this joker don't know I'm broke. And he's telling you sow a seed. He's telling you to plant something at this season. Or she, I don't mean to be masculine only in my theology. The prophet tells you to do something that you don't even believe you ought to be doing.
Right.
Then the prophet has to walk away with the conviction from God to say, God, if you don't back these words up, I'm going to be the biggest fool in the earth realm.
Yes.
I'm going to be the craziest one in the earth realm. And so the prophet tells you what to do and when to do next. Proverbs 3:7 says, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Job 28:28 says it this way. And unto man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom.
Yes.
The fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. When you understand what the gifts are, when you understand the gifts of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, and begin to be apply them and connect, when you take the pastor, the teacher, and the prophet, and you put them in the same room upon the apostolic order by an apostle, and in a room that's filled with people ready to learn by an evangelist, and you bring them together in fivefold revelation, it's at that point that you begin to apply the things of God and can open heaven in your life. But most of us are out of sync because we don't have all of the codes. We don't have the access to all of the information. And so we're so filled with knowledge, and we got pastors every day starting new churches. But man, we got prophets that are in hiding and off the scene. Wow. And so we got churches that don't have no prophets in them.
Wow.
Ain't no breakthrough in that church with no prophet. We got prophets in places that don't have no teachers. And so he's prophesying, but ain't nobody teaching, and there's no scholars to bring understanding. And so the whole body is dysfunctional. Look at somebody and say, it's time to become aware and astute. It's time to come into a place of knowledge where we need to bring the gifts back together, and we need to get up out of ignorance. We have to get up out of ignorance, and when we get up out of ignorance, we can tap into the promises of God, and the promises of God comes through the gifts of God. When the gifts of God are flowing and in operation and not jealous of one another, or backbiting, attacking, and fighting each other, but learning how to work together, heaven opens over our life and we walk in a place of love, a place of unity, a place of abundance, a place of more than enough, and we erase lack out of the vocabulary of the kingdom. But you can't get out of lack just with a pastor. You can't get out of lack with just an apostle. Well, I like the apostle. I don't like the pastor. Well, hell, you still broke.
Wow, yes.
You still busted. You still disgusted. Still stuck where you are.
Yes.
Just because of what you like.
Yeah.
You know what you like, but what you like ain't what you need.
Yes. Because he can blast that, come on, stronghold of debt and poverty. But after that stronghold been broken, come on, the pastor comes back and teaches you and gives you the knowledge of what to do now that the stronghold has been broken in your life. So they go hand in hand. Amen?
Go ahead and talk about the promises. Then let's talk about two kinds of ignorance, and let's get up out of here.
All right. Just don't forget 1 Peter 5:6. Y'all, it says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Come on. That's all five of the gifts. Amen. That he will exalt you in due time. Amen.
When you look at ignorance and lack, they restrict your access or your ability to access. And so that's why you've been in church all your life and still don't have the code. It's not just the church. You got to make sure the church is in order.
Yes.
And you got to make sure the church understand or have a revelation on all five of the gifts.
All five.
And if the church don't have all five of the gifts in operation, you're not going to get the breakthrough in your life.
That's right.
You're going to get a whole bunch of information. You're going to learn how to shout. You're going to be able to do the chicken shout where you flap.
Yes.
You're going to be able to put your arm behind your back and do that shout. You're going to be able to do all of them touchdown shouts where you lift your hands up to Jesus and show the field goal. You get the right postures for shouting down pack, but the postures for living, man, you'll still be lacking in awareness and a revelation. Pastor Vicky, we talk about what two kinds of ignorance and how to come out of darkness. Mm-hmm. Look at this scripture for me real quick in Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6. Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6, we talk about ignorance, and too often our ignorance is just not having enough information.
Amen.
Not having information on what it is.
It hinders us.
Mm-hmm. But look at this. When you get Hosea 4, 6, we're gonna run through this real quick. Say amen.
Oh, amen.
Too many times, ignorance has been the enemy of our obtaining the promises of God. Too many times ignorance. And we don't like to talk about ignorance in the church because it makes us feel bad because we think the pastor calling us ignorant.
Right.
Get that out of your mind. I'm not calling you ignorant. We're not doing that. We're talking about the spirit of ignorance.
That's right. The opposite of knowledge.
The opposite of knowledge.
So to understand knowledge, you have to understand the extreme opposite of knowledge is ignorance, because if we don't have knowledge, then we walk in ignorance.
Amen.
There is one or the other. Amen.
Hosea 4 and 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Yes.
Where that dumb stuff come from? What I don't know won't hurt me. And we walk around and we reverberate that stuff. Well, if I don't know it, it ain't gonna hurt me. What I don't know won't hurt me. This thing said, what you don't know will kill you.
It will destroy you.
It'll destroy you. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But then he says, because you have rejected knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. That thou shalt be no priest to me. You can't get in your gift, and your gift won't work because you don't rejected knowledge. Mm-hmm. Look at this. You shall be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget your children. And some of our children walking in bondage because mm-hmm. of our ignorance.
Yep. And one version says, in God's wording, he says, I will ignore your children. So that's just confirmation of the generational curse passed down from us to our children and our children's children. How do we think we tapped into ignorance in an arena that we don't have knowledge? Because our parents never took the time to gain the knowledge. Because if they did, they would have released it to us and we would release it to our children. And so not only does ignorance hinder or defeats us or kills us or destroys us, it destroys our children, our children's children. I mean, that is the movement of God. That is the future is the movement of the kingdom. And if we negate the movement in the kingdom by ignorance, then, you know, we negate all that God desires to do.
Amen. When you look at this thing, when you negate things, two types of ignorance. I want you to write them down. I just read them in the scripture there, and we're going to run through this. One is the lack of knowledge or the lack of information. Look at somebody and say lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge.
Or lack of information.
Or lack of information.
You deal with that. And Pastor Vicky, you had a scripture there, Colossians 2.
I did, Colossians 2:2.
And so when you look at that with the lack of knowledge or the lack of information, that's a type of ignorance. And so when you look at that, but you had also 1 Corinthians 6:18, when it talks about flee from sexual immorality, and 1 Corinthians 10:14, flee from idolatry. We don't run from the devil. But there are some things you need to run from.
Yes.
When I get a knowledge that I can't mess with, I can't mess with sexual immorality and idolatry and think that I'm going to prevail. Proverbs says, can a man take hot coal in his bosom and not be burned? You think I can talk to any woman I want to talk to.
Yeah.
I ain't looking at nobody. I'm married.
Yeah.
All right. You ain't looking at nobody, but there's a booger bear in you. They got eyes that still can see too. And you might not be looking at her, but you don't know. She might be looking at you. Talk to me, Joseph. She might be looking at you.
Yeah.
And if you ain't got enough knowledge to say, I could lay with her and lose my life, or I could be a punk and run myself up out of here.
Yeah.
Call me a punk, but feet don't fail me now.
Yeah.
I got to get up out of here.
Yeah.
Let me find somebody, anybody.
Yeah.
Somebody shout, ho!
Yeah.
I got to run from this thing.
I got to flee
from this thing. I ain't that saved yet.
Yes. And that's the part truth. The part truth is, if I don't look at her, nothing won't happen. But the complete truth is, if I don't look at her, she could be looking at me, so I still got to guard my gates.
Why is this?
That's the complete truth.
We're going to let you out of here. Pastor Vicky talking to me, but you saved, your eyes ain't.
Yep.
So I ain't gonna discriminate, men. Women, when he come out there, muscles jumping out the gym, talking to you, and his chest moving left and right.
Don't go there.
Man, when she come out there and every dress they make now got a tight V line on it, you trying to look over her head?
You can't.
It's called the complete truth. The complete truth. But look at that scripture, Colossians 2, because it does talk about that we may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God. Namely in Christ, who are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And he says, I tell you this, why? So that no one may deceive us with fine sounding arguments.
Look at that.
Ain't nothing wrong with looking long as you don't touch. The eye is a gate.
That
and
devil
what
is
we
a
say
lie.
Last year, the dumb sheep go to the gate and let the enemy in.
Ignorance is when you tell yourself you're stronger than you really are.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no deception like self-deception.
Yes. Yes.
And self-deception tells you, I can look and it ain't going to bother me. You wrong. You like that moth looking at the light from that flame. You keep looking. Eventually, you're going to fly into the fire.
Yep.
And you're going to be destroyed by what it is that you were trying to see.
Yes. Yes.
So we talking about ignorance is lack of knowledge.
Yeah. And misinformation, is the missing truth.
And then the second one is
become prey to the enemy.
Ignorance is a rejection of knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you got on that? Anything?
Nothing.
Rejection of knowledge. You ain't got nothing on that rejection of knowledge? See, that's the truth.
That's true.
She can make up something.
I ain't gonna make up a
thing. Or she can just speak the truth. But when you look at that rejection of knowledge, you have to come to a fact where you see that man, there's some things out to know. There's some things out to do. And there's some things I know that I've chosen not to do.
Yes.
That rejection of knowledge, that casting away knowledge where God has spoken some things into your life. He's spoken some things into your heart. He's said some things to you that you know should be in operation in your life.
Yes.
And you've rejected that information.
Yes.
You've rejected that thing. God says, I want you to give your life to me. I want you to be saved. I want you to come to me with all of your heart. And you say, God, I don't want to come to you yet because I still got some club in me. God didn't even talk to you about the club. He asked you to come to him, and he didn't even mention the club.
Yes.
That's the but in the rejection of knowledge. He just said, come to me. And then, as a matter of fact, when he said come, he said, bring the club with you.
Yes. Yes.
God, I would come to you, but I'm still drinking. That's a rejection of knowledge. He didn't even tell you to put the bottle down. He said, come to me and bring the bottle with you.
Yes, because you met some people in the club that he needs to use you to go back to and minister. And if you didn't have a relationship with them, they were going to reject, come on, everything that proceeds out of your mouth. It's all in how you look at the gaining of this knowledge.
When you look at that rejection of knowledge, it's a refusal to allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life and be at work and be present. It's when you refuse to allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life and to be at work and to be present. Let me give you this scripture and we close.
Yes, Jesus.
John 14, 15 through 18 and 26 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, you see, we said truth supersedes facts, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, underline knows him. This scripture says, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Verse 18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Look at this, Elder. He says, he shall teach you all things and shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Look at this in John 16, dealing with this knowledge. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And if he sends him to you, why are we rejecting him? Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but of me. For he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has of mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Jesus said it. He would send the Spirit to be our helper, to be our comforter, to be our guide, to be our instructor, and to be our teacher. He would send him to be the ministering angel and the ministering agent that would come into our lives and bring us into that knowledge, that understanding, that wisdom, and that revelation. But many of us have diminished the light of the Holy Spirit. Many of us have rejected his voice when he talked to us, and we now call his voice an unction. Or we call his voice just somebody, I heard something, say something in me. We reduced his voice to now an afterthought. And on this morning, what we're saying to you beyond salvation is there's a place for the Holy Spirit to take reign and to take rulership in our life again. We know who Christ is and we got salvation down, but Christ is not able to be fully manifest because we rejected the knowledge and the revelation of the Holy Spirit. So on this morning, I'm not doing an altar call just for sinners to come running to the altar. I'm doing an altar call for the whole house to be filled with the knowledge of the Holy Spirit again. I want every last one of you in this room to stand up on your feet, and I want you to lift your hands, and we want to talk about the revelation of the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. We want to talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit coming back into our lives.